We are in the middle of a series. When it started, I did not know it was a series. It was called 5 Verses Guaranteeing Success. And sometime, I think during the actual first teaching, or maybe just before when I was printing it up, the Lord said, we're going to do a series of 3 parts. I thought he said 3 parts. So I said, okay. So I taught it, 5 Verses Guaranteeing Success, which are based on Mark chapter 11. Verses 22 through 26. And so I taught this series, and then I announced there were going to be 3 parts. So after the first teaching, one of my grad students came to me and says, with all the stuff you taught today, what else is there left for you to teach? And I said to him, I'm wondering the same thing myself. But we went on to do part 2. Part 1 was called the Prayer of Faith. That's looking at the 5 verses through the eyes of the prayer of faith. And then the 5 verses, looking at it through faith, Mark 11, 22 says, have faith in God. Most translations says, have faith in God. And verse 2 says, speak to the mountain. So you have mountain moving faith if you have faith in God. And then Mark 11, 24, of course, is the prayer of faith. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them in the future. When you desire, when you pray, at the point in time when you pray, if you believe it's spiritually done, when you finish praying, then you shall see it in the future. And if you have faith to believe that, then that which you pray for comes into manifestation. But you need the prayer, the faith, the kind of faith that moves mountains, the kind of faith where you don't doubt in your heart. You need that faith to believe that when you finish praying, it's done, even though nothing has changed as far as you can see. But if you believe it's done simply because the Word of God says it, then you shall receive the manifestation. But as you pray, then you need to forgive everybody, because unforgiveness will block your prayers. Unforgiveness is a hindrance, will block all your prayers. So that's the prayer of faith, in a nutshell. That's looking at the 5 verses through the prayer of faith. In part 2, I did the same thing. Same 5 verses, teaching them, looking at it through the lens of the prayer of agreement. The prayer of agreement. And in the prayer of agreement, it says, where 2 agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done. But agreement requires unity, requires trust. And some Bibles translate Mark 11, 22 as trust God. Trust God. If you trust God enough to believe His word, that says if you don't doubt in your heart, the mountain will move, then you can look at it and see that what Jesus did was the following. Mark 11, 23 is a spiritual law. It's a law that says any person who speaks to a challenge and does not doubt in his or her heart, but believe that the things that she or he has said will come to pass, you'll have what you say. It's a spiritual law. So if you trust God and you understand the spiritual law, then you see that what Jesus did, going from Mark 11, 23 to Mark 11, 24, Jesus spoke the spiritual law, and then he said in Mark 11, 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. He said, therefore. Therefore links 23 and 24. He says, here is the spiritual law. I'm going to speak to a mountain. I'm going to speak to a mountain of prayer challenges for you. And I'm going to say to you that your prayers will come to pass because I'm agreeing with you if you do it the way I tell you. He's saying, I'm using the spiritual law of Mark 11, 23 to create a law for you that says, I will agree with you that when you desire and you pray, if you believe you receive when you pray, then you should have it. So every time we use a prayer of faith, we can believe that Jesus is agreeing with us. And when we do that, we understand that faith works by love. And unforgiveness is not love. Unforgiveness will stop your love. And if your love is bottled up, so is your faith. Which brings us to part three. Part three is looking at the same five scriptures through the lenses of the prayer of authority. The prayer of authority. So, up until this moment, I have been saying the five verses are being taught at three levels, through the prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement, and the prayer of authority, which means tonight being the third night, it should end tonight. The first two were taught on the last two Sundays. Tonight is Friday, so we're teaching it on Friday. Today, the Lord informed me we're going to have two more. We're going to go to parts, what? 4 and 5. Boy, you're good at math. We're going to go to parts 4 and part 5. Part 4 will be the prayer of creation. Part 4 will be the prayer of creation. Part 5 will be the prayer of dominion. Prayer of dominion. We're going to look at these five verses through two more lenses after tonight. They'll be taught on the next two Sundays. So tonight is part 3. Not Sunday in 2 days, but a week from Sunday will be part 4, the prayer of creation. And the following week will be the prayer of dominion. And the following week, which will be what? 4 Sundays from today, if you include the Sunday in 2 days. Following part 5, we're going to have a special teaching that shows how to use prayer to overcome major challenges in life. There'll be a testimony embedded in the teaching. The testimony will be from the worst airline disaster in history. The worst airline disaster in history. From the Canary Islands disaster, where two jumbo jets, two 747s, ran into each other. And a man who was on that, okay, has a testimony which I want you all to hear. It will be an example of showing you how prayer changes the circumstances of your life. So back to part 3, which is tonight, right now, the prayer of authority. And you might say, what is the prayer of authority? The prayer of authority simply is this. Most Christians are inclined to go to God and ask God for things. And God does say, you know, like in Philippians 4 verse 6, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. So God doesn't want you to ask him for things. That's the true statement. But God doesn't want you to ask him for things that he has already given you. So none of us will go to God and say, God, please, God, save me. I need salvation. I need to go to heaven. Because we're all saved. We're all going to heaven. But just as we're saved, through the fact that we're saved, many things were given to us that belong to us. For example, in Mark 16, verse 17, it says, these signs shall follow believer. The first sign was, in my name shall they cast out devils. So the right to cast out devils, demons, out of people and situations has already been given to you. There is a story that Brother Kenneth Hagin apostle of faith would tell. He said at one time he was talking to Jesus. He saw him and he's talking to him. And as he's talking to him, a demon jumped up between him and Jesus and started to go, you know, yakety yak, 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 you know, all these things, making gestures and so forth and just making screeching noises. He couldn't hear a word that Jesus was saying. So Brother Hagin just stopped. And he waited for Jesus to kick the demon out of there. That's no big deal for Jesus. Jesus didn't do anything. So after a while, Brother Hagin started talking. And the demon jumped up again. And then Jesus tried talking, the demon jumped up again. And so finally, Brother Hagin said, got fed up, he said, demon, get out of here in Jesus' name. The demon left. And so he said, well, Lord, why didn't you get rid of him? And Jesus said, but I have already told you to do it. The responsibility of having authority and dominion over the earth and everything that moves upon the earth was given to mankind by God giving it to Adam. And after Adam transferred this to Satan by sinning, Jesus came and brought it back. So we have authority and dominion over everything that moves and creeps upon the earth. But he gave us more. And he gave us no authority over everything in the heavenlies, which includes all the demons. We have been told to cast out demons. It's the first sign that follows a believer, is casting out devils. And we have to do it because God won't do it for you. Now that's a prayer of authority. Where you say, devil, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. That's a prayer of authority. It's a command because the right to exercise a command has been given to you. Let's look at it from John 14, 14. John 14, 14 in the King James. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We had a pastor come speak here. Lots of wonderful stories. But the one that comes to my mind was this, where he left. Where do I pick up his tours? I mean, he finally, at this point in his life, left Russia and went to Israel. He's, by the way, North Korean. And he went to Israel, and God says, go there and start a Bible college. So he gets there with no money, anything, and is living in this little Muslim town outside of Jerusalem. And nothing is happening. Until one day they came to him. I mean, nobody's talking to him. He's a Christian. They're all Muslims. Nobody's talking to him. They're ignoring him. But one day they came to him. Because the mayor of the town had been in the hospital, and they had sent him home to die. He had like a day or two to live. And they came bringing the mayor to him. Well, 30 days before, the Lord had put him on a 30-day fast. So he's on a 30-day fast. And they brought in this man. And says, can you heal him? He says, of course I can heal him. He says, Lord, you said if I ask anything in your name, you'll do it. So I'm asking that right now you heal this man. He touches the man. The man was instantly healed. Instantly healed. The man had not eaten in weeks. And so the pastor says, Pastor Joseph said, are you hungry? He said, yeah. So Pastor Joseph went inside and made him a steak. A steak after not eating for several weeks is not the best thing in the world, unless God has healed you. So he ate the steak. He says, I'm still hungry. You think you have another steak? He said, okay. Made him two steaks. He ate two steaks. And what happened after that? The town just loved them. They gave him property. They gave him a building. I mean, within a short time of being there, like 45 days with no money, he now had a building for his Bible college. And had students. Muslim students. These signs, okay, shall follow them that believe. Prayer of authority. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, I want to take that same scripture, John 14, 14, and I want to look at it in different translations. From the Amplified. Yes, I will grant whatever you should ask in my name. Reading it fully. Yes, I will grant. I myself will do for you whatever you should ask in my name as representing all that I am. That's Amplified. I myself will do it for you. No, as representing all that I am. You might think, well, and I'm sure people believe this and say it, you can only do that if you are ministering, or you can only do that if you are a minister, or if you're trying to promote the gospel, or trying to do something that's very Christ-like and wonderful and holy. But you see, all as representing all that I am. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. and the Word was God. John 1, verse 1. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus and the Word are one. So if the Word says it, it represents all that Jesus says. God wouldn't say it if he didn't want Jesus to do it. So you find the promises in here, and you ask it in the name of Jesus, and God will do it. But notice it says asking God. And we understand we're dealing with the prayer of authority, not the prayer of faith, where you're asking God. Prayer of faith is sometimes called petition prayer. We're dealing with the prayer of authority. So let's look at part B. Same scripture, different translation. What I'm doing here is I'm taking, it's the same John 14, 14 in the King James, but with an expansion of two words in the Greek. So in the normal King James, it would say, if you should ask anything in my name. But if you look up the word ask, you will see that it really would have a higher level of translation as demand. For those of you who like checking the pastor, you might want to go to Strong's Concordance and look at the Greek. And if you look up G154, you'll see, if you look up G154, if you shall ask, the word ask shows up as G, Greek, for 154. If you look at G154, it basically says if you ask anything. But if you go to G44:41, you'll see in G44:41 that it is contrasting a word, and it says, unlike G154, which represents a demand. It says, unlike G154, which represents a demand. So the ask is really a demand. Like, if you have my wallet, and I come to you and ask you back for my wallet, I'm really demanding back my wallet. If it belongs to me and I'm asking for it, it's a demand. If you owe me money and it's due and I ask for it, it's a polite way of saying I'm demanding my money back. Am I right? If you've gone through all the requirements for graduation and you've graduated and they have your diploma and you go and you ask for your diploma, you're really demanding your diploma. It belongs to you. So Jesus is saying, all the things that we've given you belong to you. You can demand them, and you can demand them of the enemy, like demons that demand you leave. Now it goes on to say, if you shall demand anything in my name, I will do it. But if you look up the word in the Greek for do it, for do, G4160, you see it has two meanings. It has two meanings. It says do or make. The King James chooses the word do. It could just as easily have chosen the word make. Now, what does make tell you? If you ask anything, I will make it for you. That tells you it doesn't exist. Because if it exists, you just give it to him. So he's saying, if you demand it, I will see that you get it. I'll either give it to you, or I'll make it for you. So you want something from God, you want something from the world, and you demand it, Jesus has promised that he'd either give it to you or make it for you. Here's an example. Acts 3, 6. And Peter said to the man at the gate, beautiful, the cripple, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And this man got up and walked. He got up and walked. Now, how did that work? Acts 3, 16 explains how it works. It says, the name of Jesus, through faith in the name of Jesus, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So what made the man strong is the name of Jesus. But the name of Jesus requires something. It requires that you have faith in it. And faith comes from knowledge. It requires that you understand why Jesus is named Jesus and what the name Jesus represents. And when you understand the power in the name of Jesus, then you can use that name and you can demand things to occur. Give you an example. A few years ago, we prayed here to pull down sexual strongholds over Los Angeles, and in particular, over the San Fernando Valley, because that was the world center for the making of pornographic movies. We created 2 or 3 years ago. LA Times this week has an article saying the making of pornographic movies in California has dropped by 90%. 90. That's not 9%. That's 90%. Because I'm sure a lot of people prayed as we did. So you got to have faith in your prayer. If you pray and you get the answer, it's false humility to say, I wonder if my prayers had anything to do with it. It's kind of silly. It's actually almost, it's boring and stupid. Why would you pray if when you get the answer, you don't think your prayer has something to do with it? So when you pray, you say, hey, I helped do that. I did that. How about another one? This is a lovely one. I like this one. We've been praying here for Israel for a long time. And one of the prayers we've been praying, different people pray a different way, but as a group we've prayed that every rocket, missile, every shell, every artillery that goes into Israel will not find its mark, that it won't enter Israeli airspace or will just implode or whatever. So you all know there's just a war, I guess you could call it a war, between Hamas and Israel. And the Hamas have sent thousands of missiles into Israel. Thousands of missiles. To the best of my knowledge, they've killed what? About 60 have been killed, but not by missiles. They've all been, almost all those have been killed in action in Gaza, not in Israel. Okay? And by terrorist attack, but by missile, the last count I heard was one, and it may have gone up higher, maybe it's six. With thousands of missiles being sent, they're missing almost everything. So on the news, on a major international news station, they said to one of the commanders in Gaza, one of the Hamas leaders, said, are you guys that terribly with your aim that you can't hit anything? You're firing thousands of missiles, literally thousands, and you're not hitting anything. Are you not aiming well? Here's what the man said. The man says, we aim, and we aim very, very well. But the God of Israel turned the missiles away. The God of Israel turned the missiles away. Is that awesome? That is international news. The God of Israel turned the missiles away. If you look at the history of the wars of Israel, it's truly amazing. It's like from the Old Testament. It's biblical how God, time and time again, saves them. So what we want to do is look at these five verses through the context of authority. So let's start with Mark 11:22. You've all heard of that one, right? Mark 11:22. In several translations, including the Douay Rheims, the translation is, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Now, what does that mean? That can mean several things. We want to focus on one of them. Have the faith of God. We want to look at it as meaning have the same kind of faith that God has. Have the same kind of faith that God has. What kind of faith does God have? God has the faith to believe that the commands he gives will come to pass. When God says it's something, God believes it's going to happen. God wants you to have the same kind of faith that when you speak something, when you say it, you believe it shall come to pass. So children of God should copy their father. They should believe that whatever commands they issue in the name of Jesus shall also come to pass. Now, when you do that, then that gives you more faith in your words. Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe the things you say shall come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say. Now, when you believe that every command you give is going to come to pass because you have the God kind of faith, then when you speak to the mountain, you believe the mountain is going to move. So you should speak, declare, prophesy the promises of God with authority. The promises of God belong to you. You find it in the Bible. And in the name of Jesus, you can change anything. Let me give you one from my own experience. I'll make it short. Was at a marine land kind of thing, SeaWorld, I guess it was in Florida. And this lady's glasses had fallen into the pool. It was near closing time, so she couldn't get anybody to retrieve the glasses. the dolphin pool. The dolphins are swimming in a circle because nobody has food because all the food is sold out and it's closing down. So she's reaching over trying to touch a dolphin, and the dolphin just right outside of her hand, and the glass is falling into the pool. And she's just distraught. She's beside herself. She's running on. She can't get anybody to help her. And I had compassion. And I prayed quietly under my breath, in the name of Jesus, dolphin, dive down and bring the glasses to me. Within 30 seconds, the dolphin dove down, picked up the glasses, and brought it to me, and I gave it back to her. Because if you can believe, Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. And all authority is vested in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay. So you believe that your words will come to pass if you don't doubt in your heart. You have the God kind of faith. You believe your words will come to pass. So there's no doubt in your heart. We were in Manila when a major typhoon came through. And we were speaking at a very large church. That was the center where this convention was going to be. Church had like 6 or 8 services a day. Very large place. A super typhoon. Supposed to be hit at midday the next day. Bearing straight down on Manila, gonna hit at midday the next day. This is the night before. The church is doing no preparation. They're preparing for their convention. So they came to the pastor, the female pastor, and said, "Well, Pastora, should we go buy candles?" And she looked at them and said, "What are you buying candles for?" They said, "Just in case the typhoon gets here, we'll have some light." He said, "Didn't we not pray that the typhoon would not come to Manila?" They said, "Yes. Go about your business and don't talk like that." They went away. The Manila news said next morning, there's a long time when there was no news coming in. I think they were disconcerted. And when they finally came out, they said, "We don't know exactly what happened, but it was like a great hand came down from heaven and batted the typhoon sideways." That's exactly what they printed and what they reported on TV and radio. Like a great hand came down from overhead and batted it away. That's what happened when you know your authority in Christ Jesus and you know the power in the name of Jesus. Life is in the power of your tongue. Do we believe that? Proverbs 8:21, life is in the power of your tongue. Well, this evangelist, whose name escapes me, I think it's Brennan, when God sent him into Russia, this is during the days when an American in Russia could be put in jail for any reason, for being American. And he had no visa, because they didn't give visas to Americans. He jumped on a plane in Eastern Europe, and they never checked him. He went into Russia. Coming to the station, and it's full of soldiers and KGB, and lots to get off here. No, you look around, it's full of soldiers and KGB. You and I would want to wait for a station where you don't see that many officials, right? Don't have to get off here. So you get off. Got off, and nobody's paying attention to him. They're all gathered around a thing. Everybody's running to a circle and gathering around. And in the center, Josh said, "Go over there." So he goes, and he's elbowing soldiers and thinking about come up to the center and looks down. He's on the track. Train had just left. I'll come in and ran over a man. Cut the man in pieces. I don't know how many pieces, but at least 3. And he looked at it, and nobody's really doing anything. He jumps down, and he gets the pieces and put them back, touching each other the way they should be. And in front of everybody, he says, "In the name of Jesus, live!" And the body came back to life. No, that is better than any visa. Yeah. Amen? Life is in the power of your tongue.
Yeah.
That's the power of the prayer of authority. Okay? So you have the God kind of faith, and you speak with God kind of faith. And you expect that what you say, it comes to pass. God lives in you. And God is life. Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Life lives in you. Death has no part of you. Life lives in you, and life comes out of your mouth. That's why life is in the power of your tongue. John G. Lake is walking through some city in Africa. And he'd gotten pretty well known. And so the naysayers, the non-Christians and so forth, were laughing at him. He's walking by and said, "Oh no, here's that guy who thinks he can raise the dead. And there's a horse lying there dead." He said, "If he can raise the dead, Why don't he come over here and raise his dead horse? And John G. Lake heard. Turned, went over there, prayed over the horse, and the horse came back to life. Isn't that an awesome story?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Power in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, you can change anything. You are an ambassador of heaven on earth. You have the right to use the name of Jesus, and you have the right to change anything using the name of Jesus. Life is in you. Ephesians 3:17 says, let Christ dwell fully in your heart. And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks.
Yeah.
So when life dwells fully in your heart, life comes out your mouth. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. So, have the God kind of faith. Expect that what you say shall come to pass. And we move into Mark 11:24. You have the God kind of faith. You have faith that you can speak to the mountain. You have faith that the words you speak shall come to pass. So have faith in your prayers. Jesus said, you shall have them in Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. It ends in the word them. You shall have them when them meets three conditions. When you desire it, when you pray, and most importantly, when you believe that you received, past tense, at the time when you prayed. Now, Mark 11:24 is written at the time of prayer. So in Mark 11:24, it actually says, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe, present tense, that you receive, present tense, and you should have it in the future. So as you're praying in the present, you believe it's happening right now. But 1 second after you said amen, it's now in the past. Which means you must believe that when you prayed in the past 1 second ago, it was done and you received it. From that point on, you believe, you prayed, and it is done. Let me tell you, the first, Mark 11:24 is a scripture where I believe the Bible is the word of God. When I got saved, I believed in God and Jesus. Didn't believe anything else. I realized I had been going to hell. All my college degree, all my education, all the money and things I had was not helping me. I had been going to hell. If I had died, I would have gone to hell. That's what I believed at that point in time. And I used Mark 11:24, and I tested it as a scientist tests something. And I said, if it fails one time in 30 days, I will not believe it. The Bible is the word of God. It never failed. So I believe Mark 11:24. So I've loved Mark 11:24. I've even said that using Mark 11:24, you could get saved. It's all you need. Whatever you ask. Lord, I ask that you save me. Of course, it requires that you need to know about salvation. And when you heard about salvation, you probably heard how to do it. So you probably wouldn't have to use Mark 11:24. But the point of fact is, it would work. Try to get what I'm saying here. This is really important. So to me, Mark 11:24 is a foundational scripture for my life. This service is taking place right now because over 3 decades ago, I believed Mark 11:24. So Mark 11:24 has always been important to me. But what I have learned most recently during this series is that these five scriptures are probably the most powerful scriptures in the Bible for change. They may not be the deepest in theology. They may not be the deepest in getting you to understand who Christ is or what God wants you to do with your life. But in terms of achieving goals, in terms of changing your life, in terms of changing your world, in terms of getting your needs met, in terms of getting the material things you want and the spiritual things, there are no other scriptures in the Bible that compare to these five. These five are powerhouse scriptures. And the reason why most mature, what's the word mature? Why most mature believers don't have their prayers answered is because they fail these five scriptures. I'm not saying baby. I'm not saying those on milk. I'm not saying the one on meat. I'm saying the ones who are going from meat to strong meat, their prayers fail because they don't get this. Let me give you an example. Let's go back to our pastoral friend in Manila with a super typhoon coming. Now, you know, if she didn't prepare her church, she didn't prepare her home. Couldn't have anyway. She was always at church. No. A home is, for most people, their greatest investment and their greatest depository of equity. It means that most of them, their home. And if you have a church, that's even more important. She wasn't preparing either one. She and her husband were not preparing either one. Because they had prayed and they believed the super typhoon would pass Manila. Now, what if they were wrong? If they were wrong, the super typhoon would come in and their house would not have been boarded up. The church would not have been boarded up. They would not have bought extra food, nor candles, nor anything else. They would have been totally unprepared. But she prayed that the typhoon, which she and her husband prayed, and others, of course, prayed. She and her husband prayed that the typhoon would go elsewhere. It's very important when you pray that you stop and give some thought to the prayer. Let me tell you, when I was at UCLA, I used to spit the atom. And let me tell you, spitting the atom is a dangerous thing. It only took about 30 years for UCLA to realize that. I used to wonder, as a kid who's wet behind the ears, why are they spitting the atom in the middle of a major city? And they finally moved it. No, that's stupid. Perhaps not as stupid as Berkeley. Berkeley built the longest linear accelerator. It's a building that houses an accelerator that speeds up the electrons that are going to smash the atom. It's 1 mile long. It's a 1 mile long building with its equipment to take these things and get them to go faster and faster and faster. And they built it right across the San Andreas Fault. No, you and I wouldn't do that. But they did. It's still on top of the San Andreas Fault. And UC Berkeley is in charge of Los Alamos. Los Alamos is where they develop much of the atom bomb. It's the nuclear center. There's one also in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Okay? And Berkeley's in charge of it. And they're building the linear accelerator across that. Okay? Well, moving along here. Give thought to your prayer. See, if you're about to split the atom, you're going to be very, very careful with what you're doing. If you're going to set off a nuclear bomb, you're going to be really careful. If you're going to throw a stick of dynamite, if you're going to throw one of these cherry bombs, you will throw it. You won't be like my brother, who, when we were kids, he picked up one and started smoking it. Honest to gosh, it wasn't a cherry bomb, it was a regular firecracker. And he's puffing this thing and it goes off in his lip. I don't think he did that more than once. Okay? I learned from his experience. I didn't do it, okay? So give thought. Now, the most powerful weapon in the world is the Word of God. Give some thought before you phrase your prayer. Because you back yourself into a corner. You paint yourself into a corner. I know a man who died because he painted himself into a corner. Different story. Keep coming, I'll tell you one day. The pastor and her husband prayed that the super typhoon, would not come to Manila. Therefore, anything they do to prepare would negate their prayers. Now, if you want to take your house and batten up your house and get your house ready for the typhoon, then don't pray that. Pray that your house is protected. Lord, I pray protection over my house and all that I own. And as part of your faith action plan, you can batten it up and nail it up and do whatever you want to do. You see the difference? The same action has two opposite results. Putting plywood over your window is a faith action plan if you pray that your house will be protected. If you pray the typhoon is not coming, then why in the world are you? Nobody nails plywood over the window on a nice summer day. You all got what I'm saying here? Give some thought to how you word your prayer so you don't back yourself into a corner. 3C. So you believe that you received at the time when you prayed. So when you prayed, you did so in faith. Therefore, after you pray, declare the results with authority and confidence. You have the faith of God. You prayed, you believe, you received. Thereafter, speak with confidence, act with confidence that will come to pass exactly like you said. And that's where most mature believers fail. I see it almost every day that I'm interacting with people. I see it. They cancel their prayers with their words or their actions. You might all want to ask the Lord to show you instances in the past where you canceled your prayers with words and actions. So you believe it has been done. You have received. Now, because you have received, you received something wonderful. What's the first thing you do when you receive something wonderful? Because you're well trained. You say thank you, right? You got your prayers answered. The first thing you do after your prayer, after the amen, is thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, I've been healed by this chapter of Jesus. Thank you, the super typhoon is not coming to Manila. Thank you, the homes of all the Christians in Hawaii have been protected by prayer from these two hurricanes. You know the two hurricanes that were targeted in Hawaii was a first in history. Never before in history had two hurricanes targeted the same place, one behind the other. Never. And Christians prayed that they would divert, shrivel down. Second one did real nicely. It diverted and is shrinking. The first one shrunk and went up and shrunk and went up and finally actually hit Hilo, Hawaii. My understanding, it was a tropical storm by then, and most of the damage was on the southern coast where hardly anybody lives. Okay? So I worked pretty good. Didn't totally miss it. 3D. Because you have the faith of God, what does that mean? It means because you believe that your words come to pass, just as God does, because you have the faith of God, you know it has already been done. You prayed, you believe, you received. So start acting like it. How do you know that the man who came down through the ceiling in front of Jesus for healing, how do you know he had faith? By his actions. He came down to the ceiling. He's trying to get to Jesus for prayer, and he dug a hole in the roof. That shows a lot of faith and determination and commitment and consecration. So it's your words that will tell you. Your words and your works will tell you if you're in faith or not. So start speaking as if you believe. Start speaking as if you believe that it has been done. Both in your normal conversations and with affirmations. A lot of ABCers will do okay in affirmations. But once they get into normal conversations, they won't confirm it in their normal conversation. They will start speaking as if it has not yet occurred. And finally, Mark 11:25-26. God is the power behind your authority. Hebrews 1:3 says, God upholds all things by the word of his power. It's the word of his power which is backing up your authority. You have the authority over everything. You're an ambassador of heaven and earth to enforce Jesus' victory on earth over the demons and evil spirit. That's our job, is to enforce the victory that Jesus got over Satan. But to do that, we have authority. The authority is backed up by the power of God. What's the difference? Well, if there's an 18-wheeler going down the freeway and you jump out in front of it and put up your hand, you're probably going to get squished. Especially if you look like you're trying to rob them. Right? But the same 18-wheeler is coming down and a man dressed in a California Highway Patrol uniform with a big badge goes like this. They screech to a halt. Same man just like you to an 18-wheeler, both the Highway Patrol officer and you are like bugs. The 18-wheeler can squish both of you. But he has the authority and the power of the state of California is behind him. You have the authority to change anything. And standing behind you is Big Brother and Big Daddy.
Yeah.
And Big Daddy carries a big stick.
Yeah.
It's called the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So God backs up your words of authority with His power. So you need to remain obedient. That's why we forgive everybody. We also forgive everybody because we love God. But at a lower level, we forgive because we like our prayers to be answered. Summary. As an adult in the family of God, you have the authority to change anything and everything. In fact, that's why you're here. You're here to enforce the peace upon the earth and to prepare the way for the return of Jesus Christ. If you're here for fun and games, go to heaven. It's much more fun in heaven. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.